tell her all the time she needs to pick up the pace a little bit. She... <I know.
laughs> Hopefully she don't, the closer you get, the slower I get.
There you go. So what does the Word of God tell us about a hardened heart? That's what we want to talk about just a little bit this morning. A hardened heart. So what are the results of a hardened heart? Well, a hardened heart, one of the things that it does is it diminishes our ability to perceive and to understand what God's will is for us in our life. And that's because when we begin to allow this to take place in our life, we fail to remember the many, many, many times in our life that God has graciously provided for us. So we tend to forget that once in a while when things happen in our life. We tend to forget that, oh, just yesterday or day before or last week, God provided a lot of stuff for our life. So He's going to continue to do this. So we must never forget the promises that God has given unto us, especially those promises that He gives unto us through His Word. And one of the promises that He gives unto us is He says He will never walk. Leave us nor forsake us in our life in Christ. Now, when we allow sinfulness to remain within us, then a lot of times that's what causes our heart to grow hard or to grow hardened, because we follow after the sinfulness instead of following after the godliness. Those things that God has in store for us in our life. And these things are not pleasing unto God. But even though we do that a lot of times in our life, God is still going to help us and see us through those things that are happening in our life. So once He helps us to begin, and this comes through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, He helps us to recognize what our disobedience to His Word is all about. And how do you think He helps us to recognize what our disobedience is? Is when we begin to study and we begin to pray and we begin to meditate upon the Word of God, then He begins to show us where we are disobedient in our life to Him. And once we begin to recognize this, then He is able then to begin to help us with this, to help us to be able to repent of those things and to come knowing by faith, believing that He's going to help us through all those things in our life. So we've got to learn to live according to the Word of God. That's one of the biggest things that in our life as believers is learning to live according to the Word of God. So when we begin to do this in our life, then we begin to gain wisdom, we begin to gain knowledge, we begin to gain understanding, and then we begin to see what obedience to God is all about. Now, in the book of Psalm, I'm going to take you back here and read you a couple of verses out of the 119th Psalm, starting with verse 9. Here's what he says. He says, "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." So he's asking this question, "Lord, how am I going to take care? How am I going to overcome these things in my life?" And he says, by God answers him, and he says, "By heeding into the Word of God." He says, "And I do this," he says, "with my whole heart have I sought after thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." And then here's where we get the familiar verse that a lot of us know and we memorize. He says, "Thy word hath I hid in my heart that I," what? "That I might not sin against thee." So when we are living a life that that is as close to the fullness of God that we can live through Him. The life that God has intended for us to live. Now, you know, a lot of people think they're living a life that was intended for them. And if there's sin in it, it's not the life God intended for us to live. But the closer we get to God, then the closer we come to living the life that He intended for us to live. And this all comes through being obedient to the Word of God. So we understand as we read and as we study the Word that none of us are immune to the things that come against us in the world. And what are some of those things? Well, deception, trials, tribulations, all of those things that happen in our life. None of us are immune to those things. It's going to happen. Don't ever let anybody tell you that that's not going to happen. And don't let anybody ever tell you that the closer you get to God, the less that it's going to happen. Because I'm going to tell you, the closer you get to God, the more that it's going to happen. But the closer that we get to God, the less we pay attention to it, because we're allowing God to take care of those things in our life. We're putting all of our trust in the Lord. So that means that as we go through our life in Christ, we all have this room to grow. God gives us this ability, this strength to overcome all these circumstances in our life, but only if we'll allow God to work. And we have to take the initiative to allow God to work in our life. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, starting with verse 3, here's what he says. And not only so, but we glory, and pay attention to this, we should memorize this verse, and a lot of us probably shy away from this verse, but he says, we glory in tribulation. And a lot of people ask, how can I be happy going through these things in my life? Now, God didn't say nothing about you being physically or happy. He says we glory in it because we know God's going to take care of it. So He says we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience brings what? Experience. We need experience because our memories are based upon the experiences that we have in our life, and God uses these to help us through things that we're going through in our life. So He says, patience brings experience. Experience brings hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which He has given unto us. So the suffering that we go through as believers or as Christians, the suffering that we go through is beneficial, pay attention to this, is beneficial to my salvation. The suffering that you're going through is beneficial to your salvation. So for those who are in Christ, meaning the believer, those who are saved, then suffering makes a difference. Suffering matters in our life because we are destined to the greatness and the glory of God, and it's going to come through our suffering a lot of times in our life. When we're suffering in our life, God is able to accomplish things in our life. So this is one of the things that we need to understand. So this means that our salvation, what we're living in when we begin to understand our salvation, it's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to grow in our faith. It's an opportunity to become more mature in the Lord. And this is daily. Every day in our life, God gives us an opportunity to grow in Him, because He's always wanting us to come into a closer relationship with Him. God never, never wants our relationship to be hindered. He doesn't want any separation in there. He wants our relationship to always be become closer to Him. So suffering produces what? It produces endurance in our life. And endurance is what gives us the ability to keep going, to keep doing those things, even when we feel like giving up. It is the endurance that comes from God through the suffering that we go through that keeps us from giving up in our life. So that's one of the things that we have to remember as we live our life in Christ. So we're going to go to the book of Luke, in the book of Luke, chapter 16. Very, very familiar scripture. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but go back and study it later on. But what we want to do is we want, what are the consequences? We want to look at an example and the consequences of what a hardened heart does in our life. So in the book of Luke, chapter 16, and we're going to start down in verse 23. And we're going to talk a little bit about the rich man and Lazarus. So it says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes." Now this is definitely one of the consequences of having a hardened heart. But he says, "In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, he seeth Abraham afar off, and he also saw Lazarus." So he said, "And Lazarus in his bosom. And it said, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. And he said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, since you can't do nothing about me being here, and he knew this. He said, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, then they would repent. And here's what he said. And he said unto him, if they hear not," meaning if their heart is so hardened that they don't listen to the people around them or pay attention to the people around them, he said, neither will they be persuaded even if I send one back from the dead. This is how hardened their hearts were. Now, what we have to look at here, and everybody, because I've heard a lot of people say, especially over the last few months or the last year, and because of technology, because of medicine, and all that, well, I'm going to live forever. And they believe it. They believe it in their heart. Well, technically, you're kind of right, because everybody's going to be immortal one of these days, but I'm eventually, everybody's going to pass from this earth. You're going to pass from a life of mortality into a life of immortality. So this is what we need to understand. Yes, you're going to die a physical death, and God gives you that time up until then to make your things right with Him, to choose His saving grace, to do the things that He has for us to do. But not everybody chooses that, because a lot of people have a hardened heart. So this means that everything contained within the Word of God, everything that God has given us, He has given us this time to prepare us for the moment in our life that we are going to physically die. We're being prepared for that. And He wants us to, because He knows that after that, eternally, it's going to be one of two things. It's either going to be eternal condemnation in hell, or it's going to be eternal life with God. So He's preparing us for that moment. So we have to get people to understand, and we have to understand ourselves, that this preparation has nothing to do with our worldly status, because that's all going to go away. I don't care how much stuff you gain, you collect while you live here upon this earth. You've heard the old saying, when you go, you're not going to take it with you. It isn't going to happen. So it has everything to do with the choices that we make make while we're here, and it's the choices that we make concerning our obedience to the Word of God. How obedient were we to the Word of God? Well, a lot of people that are saved will say, well, I was obedient, I'm saved, I'm going to go to heaven one of these days. But there's much more than that. It just started. You just begin to learn when you were saved. Now, if you gave all that up and you didn't learn anything else, yes, you will go on to heaven. But what about all the other things that you could have been a part of while you lived your life here upon this earth? So we're going to be judged accordingly to our obedience. So it has nothing to do with it if you were rich or poor. It doesn't have nothing to do with how smart you were. It has nothing to do with what religious organization you were involved with. It has nothing to do with any of that. But it has everything to do with how we reacted to the promises and the commandments of God's Word. Whether or not we were dependent upon God while we lived our life down here upon this earth. So now we might say, oh, we're dependent upon God when things happen. We eventually turn to God. Well, it would be better if when something happened, we were with God then. There shouldn't be a matter of whether, well, maybe I'll let God take care of it, maybe I won't. It should just be God's taking care of it. That's where our relationship should be with the Lord. So God didn't do this just so we could have saving grace. He done this so that our eternal state of being could be life everlasting with Him. And we are to be living in that eternal state now, while we live here upon this earth. So this was His intent for our life, that we would make the choice not only to accept Christ as our Savior, but that we would make the choice to live with Christ as our Savior while we live down here upon this earth. So in the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 14, here's what he says. Happy is the man that feareth always. Now, I'm not talking about worldly fear, because if you got worldly fear in your life, you are not happy. You're frustrated, you're angry, you're upset, you're scared, you worry all the time. So what's he talking about here? Happy is the man that feareth always. He's talking about our relationship with God, our how we reverence the things that God is doing for us in our life. Happy is that man, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. So, a man or a person with a hardened heart will not believe, will not by faith believing put their trust in the Lord. It just and this can go, and you might say, well, I'm a Christian, so I don't have a hardened heart. Don't say that. Because we harden our heart all the time as Christians, because not all the time do we put our faith and our trust in the Lord. God says that if you have a hardened heart, you're not going to put your complete faith and trust in the Lord. This is how God works through us, through the Holy Spirit. And when we reject the Holy Spirit, then those spiritual truths that God desires for us in our life just doesn't happen. So what does happen is we have this involuntary reaction in our life, that when things begin to take place in our life, when people tries to talk to us about those things in our life, it just doesn't seem to go anywhere. We're not paying attention, because I already have it all figured out. I already know what's going to go on and what's going to happen in my life. But we've got to learn to, when we begin to come by faith, when we begin to see these things start to happen in our life. You know, God just doesn't do anything out of... He just doesn't one day say, okay, I'm going to do this for you in your life. Everything that happens in your life, God prepared before He ever created Adam. So don't think that the things that God's going in your life, He just pulls out of thin air and does it out of nowhere. It's all been planned. Everything has been planned. So when we begin to learn this, now sometimes we alter or hinder God's plan. I'll not say alter, because God's plan is going to continue on whether we follow it or not. But sometimes we hinder that by the things that we do in our life that we're not obedient to God. But the problem in our life comes when we allow all these things in our life to cloud our understanding. Now, when our understanding becomes clouded, then our judgment becomes clouded. When our judgment becomes clouded, then our choices become clouded. And you can see where this is going. It just keeps going. Downhill, 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 downhill all the time. So when these things happen in our life, when we begin to follow after our own agendas, instead of asking God what we should do about these situations, these circumstances, these things that are going on in our life, then we've chosen the dependency apart from God, and we are not able to trust in Him now. We're not able to follow after the Holy Spirit that He has given for us to trust in. And we do this when we begin to get away from His Word, when we begin to get away from praying, when we begin to get away from our relationship with God. It is a hindrance to the things that God has in store for us in our life. So we find ourselves now suffering in the consequences of our sinfulness, and we don't know how to react to it because we're not allowing God to take care of those things in our life. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, starting with verse 14, here's what he says. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. This is what a hardened heart, this is what happens from a hardened heart. We hear, we're not listening. So we're not understanding. So he says, by hearing ye shall hear, but ye shall not understand. And by seeing ye shall see, but you'll not perceive. Well, you're just not going to get it. So when he talks to us about this, this creates life-changing events in our life. So we've all been around people, or we've all, somebody's talked to us before and said, do you understand what I'm saying? We'll say, yeah, and we don't understand the word. We're just trying to get away from them, trying to get it away from them. And this is what he's talking about here. We do this with God. God tries to show us something. Oh yeah, Lord, I see what you're trying to do. And we go on about our... He knows. Do we not think He doesn't know? He knows exactly what we're doing in our life. So this is what... It's our lack of understanding means that we have failed to understand and follow after the will of God. So if we think we're still following after the will of God, but we're not trusting in Him to do the things that He wants to do in our life, then we are not following after the will of God for our life. So He cannot use us the way He wants to use us if we allow sin to remain within us and we follow after or make the choice to follow after that sinfulness. Then God cannot use us the way that He wants to use us. So and when we begin to turn those things over to God, then He will continue to do that work that He started within us. And He started that work within us from the time that He brought us into being upon this earth. He began that work within us. Now, as we got older, sometimes we choose not to follow after it. But God still continues. He through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and then once we're saved, and then He continues to try and follow up on that work within our life. If you go over into the book of Philippians, In the book of Philippians, he tells us that. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until the day that you leave this earth, whether he takes you out before the church or whether he takes you out with the church. God never gives up on the things that he has created. So then we have to ask ourselves, then what does it take to be born again? We know that if we're believers. But what does it take to come to understand that in our life? What does it take to come to understand what our salvation is all about? It takes faith. It took faith to get you saved. It takes faith to keep you going in the direction that God wants you to go as we live our life here upon this earth. And our faith comes through obedience to the Word of God. It's very simple. We complicate it to death, but it's very simple. So as believers, if we're not obedient, and we don't allow God to make the necessary changes in our life that He wants to make, then it results in a hardness of our heart, in us not following after. We allow things to disrupt our relationship with God. So just take a moment to think about, from the time you got up this morning and until the time that you got here, what things did you do, or what things did you allow to happen in your life that disrupted your relationship with God? Now you might say, well, nothing did, but I guarantee you something did. It might have been little. It might have been something little, but I can tell you Satan is always working to disrupt our relationship with God. So that when you get to where you're going, which was for a lot of people church this morning, he doesn't want you there with a joyful heart. God wants you there with a joyful heart. Satan doesn't. So he's going to do everything that he can to disrupt that relationship that we have with the Lord. So everything is determined by the choices that we make. So your salvation is more than just showing up here this morning with a smile on your face. Because if it wasn't for the Lord, it's superficial. And I might not see through it, and the one sitting next to you might not see through it, but God sees through it. So our salvation is more than that. It's more than something that is superficial. It's more than just a fake joy. It's more than just listening to the gospel. It's more than just singing a hymn or a song. Our salvation is so much more than that. Our salvation is something that we have that we strive to prove our salvation every day. Not to one another, not to your neighbor, not to the people in the church, but to God. Because when we strive to prove our salvation unto God, it glorifies Him. And the more that we glorify God, the greater our joy in Him will remain. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Here's what he says. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. See, pay attention to that, because we like to have a lot of things. But he says he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's things of eternal value. Through the knowledge of Him that He hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having accepted the corruption that is in the world through lust. Escaped, not accepted. Did anybody catch that? No? Everybody's just looking at me. Did anybody catch what I just said? I said accepted. The Bible says escape. You don't want to accept the corruption. You want to escape the corruption. Pay more attention. Okay. So as believers, when we allow our human nature to take us into situations that we shouldn't be or don't want to be. God will use that to make sure that we have no other choice to overcome it but to turn to Him. Now, sometimes we don't make the choice to come to Him, so we don't overcome it. But God will make sure that He'll use that as an opportunity for us to turn unto Him, to put our faith in Him, to put our trust in Him. So if we don't put our faith and our trust in Him, then our heart becomes a little bit hardened. And when our heart becomes a little bit hardened, it affects our relationship with God. And then we'll begin to live a life that has a lot of worldly frustration in it, a lot of worldly anger, a lot of worldly worry. So the sooner that we make that commitment to God, and the more we stay committed unto God, then the sooner we'll get past all of that. The worldly frustration will become a lot less. The anger will become a lot less. The worrying will begin to go away. It won't go completely away, but it will begin to go away. So this all happens, and God replaces that. We just don't... That doesn't start to go away and leave room for it to come back. God replaces that with peace. He replaces that with His righteousness, with His understanding. And as long as we stay committed unto Him, then He will continue to replace those things in our life with the peace and the joy and the love, the grace and the mercy and the understanding that He offers up unto us. So we find all this through His Word. The Word of God contains everything that we need as believers to live the life that God wants us to live, so that we might understand what the truth of our salvation is truly all about. We want to live a life like this. We say we choose to live a life like this, but then we allow things to come into our life that hinders us from living this life. So this is what we learn as we begin to study and meditate upon God's Word. We learn to find comfort in the truth. And that you can't get that from man. You can only get it from God. If you want 100% truth, it has to come from God. And then we'll learn to find comfort in that truth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, this day for the wonderful blessings that You've given to us, Heavenly Father. And Lord, sometimes these blessings, even though they're disguised as trials and tribulations, and we're just so thankful for them, Lord, because we're thankful for the opportunities that You allow us to have so that our faith may grow, so that we may mature, Heavenly Father, in Your Spirit, and so that we may become more obedient to the things in our daily life in Christ and Your will that You have in store for us in our life. We just pray this day, Lord, that as we continue to look unto Thee, Heavenly Father, as we continue to follow after You, Lord, that we'll see the goodness of all that You have, not just in store for us, but Lord, for those around us, Heavenly Father, so that we might be able to allow the light of our salvation to be a living example, Heavenly Father, to all of those that You surround us with. We just pray this day, Lord, that we would continue to follow after the leadership and the guidance of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would continue to find comfort, Lord, in Your Word through prayer, so that we might gain the understanding that you would have us to have, so that we might allow our light to shine before others, so that they might see your good works within each and every one of us. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, does anybody else have anything? Thank goodness we'll get to have Bible study this week, Lord willing. And everybody's had an extra week to come up with stuff, so we ought to have lots of good commentary other than mine. So we're studying our life in the Lord, and part of our life in the Lord has to do with when we leave this earth, right? And part of our life in the Lord has to do with when the church is raptured out. So last week, we weren't here last week. Week before last, we did get to talking a little bit about when the Old Testament saints will be resurrected. So, and when we say resurrected, we're not talking about, because they're already in heaven, don't get me wrong. Nobody's floating around out there waiting to get to heaven if you believe you're in heaven. But when will be resurrected? Meaning when will we get our immortal bodies? So we did get to talk about that just a little bit last week, and we'll continue on with those things this week. So keep looking up stuff, bring scripture, and come out. We have a good time learning together. Anybody else got anything?